Hey, this is Jeff Floyd, pastor of C3 Church Bathurst, and this is our podcast. Thank you for joining us today. C3 Bathurst brings life to people by helping them to be revived, restored, and released through getting to know Jesus and his people. We hope that this message will bring you life today. Looking forward to this. This is the last of our series on origins. And it's really come from a place of, my conviction is that people need to know where they're from. We need to know where our world is from. And we need to know where evil comes from, which is today. So let me just pray for a moment. Jesus, as we gather around your word again, open it to our hearts, to our mind. Speak to us and move us, Lord. And I just thank you for the power and the truth in your word this morning. Amen. About 10 years ago, Ro and I purchased our very own dining room table. As a young couple, obviously, we never really bought any furniture. Ever been there? Our first lounge chair was from the side of the road in Sydney. And we just, you know, you inherit things and you just don't really buy stuff. But I remember buying this dining room table, which is still ours today because we outgrew the little one that somebody gave us. And I remember just being so excited about this thing. It's a square table. You've probably been to our house and you've probably seen it. And it's timber and it's nice. And as it was delivered, it was set up in a garage. And they said, look, we'll just leave it there and you can take it in. As we took it in, something happened and we dropped it. And right there in the garage, before we even got it into the house, it put this big dent in it, which is still there today. And I remember going, oh, come on. I can't believe we finally bought this nice dining room table. And before we've even used it, there's a dent in it. And I just felt rotten. But right then, I felt like God said, there's a little reminder for you. It's about the world we live in. And I don't know if you've ever been in that sort of situation or you've been in this beautiful place or a beautiful, something's just going on so well and then something just goes wrong. You're like, oh, can't something go right? You ever felt that? Surely, this is so beautiful, but this is an amazing place, but this is a credible relationship, but I love my job, but. And I wonder where the but comes from. I'm going to tell you where the but comes from this morning. Right in the beginning, there's a but. And if you've ever wondered where it all went wrong, I'm going to explain it to you this morning so that you've got some idea of how that works. So let's get right into it. It's in Genesis 3. We've been a very slow crawl through Genesis this month. We've got to 3, all right? That's where we're getting to. But in Genesis 3, as you may know, the but appears. This is where it all starts to go south. This beautiful world that God has created, incredible beauty everywhere. God's creativity has been designed and created. And people, the epitome of creation has been placed in the middle of this awesome place. And you think there's paradise, but. Let me read you the start of Genesis 3. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the beasts of the field that the Lord had made. And he said to the woman, did God actually say, you shall eat of any tree in the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that's in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. But the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was a delight to the eyes and desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate and also gave some to her husband who was with her and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened and they knew that they were naked. and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. But Lord God called to the man and said, "Where are you?" And he said, I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman whom you gave to me with me, she gave me the fruit of the tree, and I ate." And then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this that you've done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." The Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you've done this, cursed are you above all livestock and above all the beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I'll put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you will bruise his heel. And to the woman he said, "I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire should be contrary to your husband, and he will rule over you." And to Adam he said, "Because you've listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it will bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return." There's the but. There's where it all comes from. And we get this idea that the world has fallen and the entrance of evil comes in. Now, the Bible isn't hugely clear on how both entrance of evil came or how that transmitted to now. There's theories, there's ideas, there's different scriptures brought together, but probably Satan was a fallen angel. He wanted to be like God and took with him a third of the armies of the angel realm. Probably what we can piece together. If you want to know more about this, this book is brilliant. Epic. John Eldridge explains it really, really well. But to say, we know that evil is in this world. I know that my table has a dent in it. I know that the world is not quite right. I know that my relationships aren't quite right. I know that my work life isn't quite right. I know that the things that I put my hand to are difficult. I know that, well, I've heard that having kids is difficult. And more than that, I know that I am fallen. I just know that inside of me is not quite right. In Romans 3 says that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, that I am part of the problem, actually. I can't just blame everybody else. And somehow we got caught up in this. But I want to tell you this morning that that's not the end of the story. That's not the fait accompli. This is not the resolution. There is more. There's more to this story because of Jesus. Have you ever heard this saying, because of COVID? Like, we all blame COVID, right? Because of COVID, there's no food in the shops. Because of COVID, I can't buy a new car. Because of COVID, I don't know, we'll just blame COVID, right? Well, let's change that. Because of Jesus. And next month, actually, we're going to explore the whole life, death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus. Because of what Jesus has done, actually, sin and evil can be undone. It's like winding back the clock. I can take back all that's been stolen from me. This is the most exciting thing, not just to acknowledge that there is evil in the world, but to see the undoing of evil. Looking forward to that? Okay, evil is overthrown. Here's the end game. Revelation 20, the last chapter of the book. "And the devil who had deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and sulfur, where the beast and the false prophet were, and they'll be tormented day and night forever and ever." There's the resolution for evil. Revelation 20:10. I know the end of the story, that evil will not last. Just clearing up some space. Thanks. It's going to get hot up here. Until then, knowing the backstory can be really helpful. I remember my first teaching gig. I was a teacher, high school teacher for years. A very wise principal. My first job at this new school spoke at this assembly. His name was George Glanville. He spoke at this staff meeting. He said, expect children to get it wrong. Well, that's curious. He said, expect them to get it wrong. Expect them to lie to you. Expect them to, not hand in their work. It's just part of the world we live in. And I thought that was odd to start with. But actually, he was right. And if we build into our world that idea that let's not put too much expectation on people to be perfect, it actually really helps life. So having said that, let's look at how we can understand the world and then take it back in Jesus. There's four main impacts that we see in that passage I read out from Genesis. Four impacts on the world that make a difference in the way that we live our life. The first one is our view of God. Evil has changed our view of God. Sin has distorted the way we see God. In Genesis 3:1, it says the serpent was more crafty than the other beast of the field. And he said to the woman, did God actually say? Did he really say that? It's like everything. Did God? Let's just get real about it. Did God really say that? Come on. I'm not sure that you heard God. Doubt, isn't that right there? Isn't that the greatest trick in the book? The devil goes, did he really? I'm not sure he really said that. You know, that'd be impossible, right? How many times have you heard that in your head? Is that really? So it's distorted straight away their view of God. And in verse 8, they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the cool of the day. They used to walk with God. They used to name all the animals and plants. They'd walk around. But now this time, what happens? It says the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. Boom. Suddenly, what's happened has disconnected God from humanity. Now we have shame. Now we feel bad. Now we want to hide ourselves. Now we realize that we're naked, even just metaphorically. We realize we've been exposed. We're revealed as to who we really are. We want to hide from God. And isn't that true of humanity? We want to just back away from God. And so we question the goodness of God. But that's not the end of the story. It's not how we are designed to live. That's where we start out living. But look at this verse. Cynicism and shame turns into praise. Jesus allows us to get close to God. The Lord is gracious and merciful. This is the real God, right? Psalm 145:8. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. That's who God really is. So when we're hiding from God, realizing our shame, God comes past, we should remember God is compassionate and gracious and merciful. Verse 9, the Lord is good to all and his mercy is over those he's made. See, God understands he's full of mercy and compassion because of Jesus, because of the work of Jesus in dealing with our shame, in dealing with our guilt. We actually don't have to feel shame anymore. That's good news. Someone needs to hear that this morning. You don't need to carry guilt and shame anymore. You don't need to experience, with confidence, we enter the throne room of God, says Hebrews. You and I, that's disconnected from us. He's full of grace and mercy. And the result is verse 10, all your works should give thanks to you. So shame turns to thanksgiving and praise. So when you're ever tempted to run away from God, you don't need to. He's dealt with it. Anything in the past, anything in the future, the work of Jesus winds back the clock of what happened in the garden. So that's the first one. That's our view of God has been distorted. The second one is our view of self. a view of who we are. You see, Genesis 2:25, the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed. Genesis 2:25, pre-Satan, pre-the fall, totally okay with each other, okay? People connect totally fine with each other. As soon as sin enters the world, now we're disconnected from each other. Not just disconnected from God, from each other. You see, the eyes of both were opened and they knew that they were naked. So that sense of self, that view of who I really am, has started to shift and changed. But that's not how the story ends. Not only do we reconnect ourselves with God, but we also reconnect ourselves with ourself. That sounds odd. But unless you're reconciled inside, you cannot really reconcile yourself to God. Part of the great work of just coming to Christ and is actually being okay with yourself. Actually learning to live with your own limitations. Actually learning to experience, I'm not quite right, but you know what? It's fine. Shame becomes confidence because of Jesus. And the mechanism is confession. The mechanism is confession. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If, look at that, there's an if clause. Any computer programs out there? If, then. If that happens, then it's conditional. If I confess my sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us. Not only does he forgive, but he washes us clean. I can be okay with myself, not because I'm perfect by any means, but because he sees me as perfect. And every time I just stuff up or do something silly or say something dumb, I can just go, oh, I'm sorry, Jesus. It's simple. God comes, forgives it, and takes away that filth and shame that perhaps I feel. You see, the world doesn't know what to do with that. How do we deal with something that's broken on the inside? Outside of Jesus, we go two ways. We either live in despair. Oh, I'll never be that. I'm just hopeless. I'll always mess up. People live there, right? Live with self-condemnation, self-pity. Oh, woe is me. And you see people walk around like this. The other side of that is inflated ego. I'm so great. I'm sorry, I didn't put on an American accent there. I really didn't. Just delete this from this. Anyway, you know, that sense of I'm the greatest. I'm still got an American accent. You see, we try to prop ourselves up by thinking good about ourselves, self-motivation and glory. And you see people strut around like this. Maybe it's at the gym. I've not been to the gym. But, you know, I'm feeling good. So we try to do all this stuff to make us feel really good because it's better than this. But both of those are errors because they're both trying to solve the pain inside, which can only be solved by having Christ inside. Then we can walk around victorious but not having to show off. And we can recognize that we're pretty hopeless, but it doesn't matter. You see? How brilliant is God? How amazing is this worldview that we have? It's going to make such a difference. I got to keep moving. Impact three. So impact one was our view of self, of God. Impact two was our view of self. Impact three, it's our relationships that's affected. This is all from Genesis 3. You can see it right there. I love this one. The man said, Genesis 3:12, the woman you gave me. She gave me the fruit and I ate it. Blame shifting, right there. First of all, he blames God. The woman you gave me. If you didn't give me this woman, I'd be a perfect person. Has anyone ever said that? Don't acknowledge that. The woman you gave me. It's your fault, God. It's your fault that I got it wrong. She gave me the fruit. It's her fault now. What happened to personal responsibility? What happened to owning my situation? And don't we see that right now in our world? Blame shifting. I mean, what caused the floods up north? Someone must have caused it. God. So we actually call them acts of God, right? Insurance claims, act of God. How terrible. You see, we've got this blame thing. If I don't make it through school, oh, my teachers, they got it wrong. If I get harassed, and it's their fault. Or, you know, we just live in this blame world where it's actually, if I just took responsibility for my own situation, it would solve 90% of all the problems in the world. It would just be so refreshing. But instead, our culture is continuing. Let's blame the government. It was the government's fault for COVID. They got it wrong. You know, so, oh, pity me. We've got elections coming up. And you can just feel it already, don't you? Like, both sides, his fault, her fault, their fault. If only they did this. Let's just get on and live and lead. Anyway, where am I doing? The woman you gave me, personal relationships, blame culture, fracturing of relationships, families, marriages, school, workplaces, governments. Relationships are fractured. Wouldn't you love to go to work and there'd be no niggling, no power plays? You know, wouldn't you love to go to school? There's no bullying. There's no. Wouldn't you love to just be in a family or a marriage and there's never any problems? It's the impact of the fall. But that's not the end of the story. We don't have to stay there. We don't have to live there, because this relational fracturing becomes unity in Christ. Look at this, Galatians 3:28. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither slave nor free. There is no male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. When you allow the work of Jesus to come in, you become united as a family, as a marriage, in a workplace, in a church life, across nations. We're all one in Christ Jesus. What a refreshing thought. In fact, what God does is try to bring us from disconnection to connection. In fact, into the ultimate unity in John 17:21, where we actually become part of God. It's a wild verse. I in me, you in him. It's amazing what God has in store for us. You don't need to live in disconnection. Just through Jesus, you can become whole and healed and take responsibility. Last one, the created order, right? So the impact is on our view of God, our view of self, our connection with each other, but it's actually the whole of creation is actually suffering under sin and evil. The whole of creation. Now, Genesis 3, I'm not going to read it all out, but this is 3, 14 to 19. There's three things, three consequences that happened. It says, because you've done this, he talks to the snake. You know, because you've done this, you'll be cursed. There'll be an enmity between you. And so there's already this disconnect between us and creation. And you see that all the time. The whole created order is disconnected. And to the woman, he said, I'll multiply your pain. That's home life. Bring up kids. Raising families. In the home, whether you've got kids or not, it's difficult, isn't it? And then to the man, he says, because you've listened to the voice, you'll be cursed. Is the ground because of you in pain, you shall eat of it. Work is hard, right? So the whole created order is difficult. Home life is difficult. And work life is difficult. Wow. Thank you, Jesus. But it doesn't have to stay there. It's not the end of the story. Romans 8 says that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. It's why we get floods. It's why we get catastrophes, natural disasters. It's why the world is not quite right. But it's not the end of the story. look at this, and the musicians can come up. Isaiah 65 is just the most amazing view of the future. It says, behold, I will create a new heavens and a new earth. And the former things shall not be remembered or come to mind. God's going to recreate everything new. And all those things that were disconnected and painful and evil, they will not be remembered. You won't even remember what it was like. It says, nor shall there be an infant who lives but a few days, or an old man who does not fill out his days, for the young man shall die 100 years old, and a sinner 100 years old shall be accursed. They shall not be labor in vain or bear children for calamity, for they shall be the offspring of the blessed of the Lord. And their descendants with them, before they call, I'll answer. Connection back to God, see? And their descendants with them, while they're yet speaking, I will hear, the wolf and the lamb shall graze together. Right? Reconnection of creation with creation. The lion shall eat straw like the ox. Dust shall be the serpent's food. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, says the Lord. That theme is picked up again right up in the end of Revelation, where God says, I will make all things new. It's not the end of the story that we live in a world of heartache and floods and disasters and warfare and the things that we're experiencing right now. It's an indication of where we are, but it's not the end. Evil is real. Cannot deny it. To try and deny it creates just so much confusion. But when we acknowledge that evil is real, but yet acknowledge that that's not the end, the work of Christ has brought it out. It's not how the story ends. And it's not how your story ends. When you allow Jesus to wind back the clock of sin and evil personally in your world, cynicism and disconnect turns to praise. Shame becomes confidence. Relationships improve. The whole of creation is healed. For you right now, this morning, what part of your world do you feel the weight of sin and evil? What part of your personal life is a bit broken like my table? There's a dent in there. Maybe you've tried to polish it over, and maybe you've tried to look away or cover it with something like I do at home. What is it that you're trying to remove? Jesus deals with that debt. Jesus actually takes it and makes all things new. What is that for you? Close your eyes for a moment. Let's ask the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, would you come and speak to us this morning? I'm praying for my friends here listening online. Give them an understanding of some things that you can actually transform. Give them a hope that their marriage can be sorted, that their family, the disconnect between parents and children, grandchildren, things at work can improve. Things in their financial realm and the places that they feel like they've been robbed and evil has taken things away. Jesus, thank you that that's not the end of the story. Thank you that your redemption comes and you make all things new. You redeem things. You forgive us. Oh, Lord Jesus, I thank you for your amazing work on the cross that's enabled us not just salvation, but right now we can wind back the clock of sin, of evil, and we don't have to let that be our story. Thank you that this is not the end of the story. What is that for you? Take a moment to pray. Just simply ask Jesus into that part of your life. Is it relationship? What do you feel like? It's a bit dented. So Jesus, come in and touch that and heal it. Is it the view of self? We all battle with that. Allow Jesus to come in and affirm you for who you are. Not for what you do, not for your achievements, just for who you are. Allow him to come. Breathe him in. Your self-confidence will fit the right zone for you. Jesus, come. If you've never known Christ, he's here for you. If you feel like your whole world is just a bit of a mess, call out to Jesus. Say, Jesus, come and save me. Come and deliver me. And he will. And we'd love to be part of that journey. We're going to just sing a little bit of the song. While we're singing that, if you just feel like you want some prayer, or just some things in this message has stirred you a little bit, just come run. I'd love to pray for you and just lay hands on you and just help you in that journey. Hey, thanks for joining us today. We'd love to get to know you better. Come and visit us at one of our Sunday services in Bathurst, rear of 217 Howard Street. Have a week filled with life.